May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, a man wanders into the hospital and immediately begins rattling off a list of complaints. My head hurts. My stomach's upset. I have no energy. Everything's aching. And so on and so on. He was checked out and then he was discharged. All vitals, A-OK, no sign of anything wrong. Well, he kept doing the same thing every day for about a week, and each time he was let go, healthy on paper. Finally, the man returns, and the nurse wearily begins taking down the symptoms yet again. She asks whether he's had diabetes, heart disease, kidney problems, and so on. And the man emphatically nods yes to all of them. And he exclaims, "The only disease I don't have is hypochondria." One of the sad side effects of the fall, all the way back to Eden, is the brokenness that sin leaves in its wake. Everything is off kilter. Our desires, our relationships, our health, our emotions, our interactions with the world around us, our finances, our thought process, especially our relationship to God. It's all simply out of whack. This tide of perpetual devastation seems to circle around the globe, time and again, like some obnoxious, never-ending human wave distracting a perfectly good baseball game. This is the bad news, but it makes the good news of Jesus Christ all the sweeter to our souls. So fortunately for us and this planet, our triune God isn't content to just leave us to our fateful ends and our poor decisions. He longs to heal us, to restore us, to bring the created order and the people that he made in his image back in sync with his benevolent plans. This is why the image of God the Father and of the Son as the great physician keeps recurring in Scripture and in tradition. The wholeness of people, both in body and soul, is a priority in the kingdom of God. Tastes of eternal perfection break through into our fading world so we might see Christ's healing hand at work, giving us hope for what will be when God's will is finally done perfectly on earth as it is in heaven. This is a hope that has stood ever since the days of our psalmist and his joyful reflections over the Lord's healthful purposes for his chosen people, forgiving sins, healing sicknesses, promising resurrection, renewing youthful vigor, providing good gifts. These all serve as a salve to wounded and weary souls in need of full health for the whole person. It's a hope that is seen fulfilled in the person of Christ while St. Peter is busy about preaching in our reading from Acts. He wholeheartedly affirms that Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. So not just physical healing, but spiritual healing is on the table with Jesus. Not just the side effects of sin, but the root cause of all of our ills. Sin itself is in Christ's crosshairs. Our Savior longs to bring restoration to the whole person from the inside out, not just on the surface of our day-to-day existence. Likewise, this holistic healing from heaven is not just for the Jewish people, but for the rest of the entire Gentile world as well. But perhaps even more amazing is the fact that God doesn't just keep hold of this healing hope in some proprietary kind of way. He commissions his people to bring the same kind of healing and wholeness to the world as Jesus has done for us. We see Jesus sending out his followers with little more than the clothing on their backs. Well, that plus his spiritual authority. They are given the right and the responsibility to bring the supernatural healing power of Christ to bear in the lives of those that they come into contact with. The disciples offered practical healing for the body, and that drew a crowd around Jesus by which he could heal their souls as he preached the message of the kingdom. Christ makes his people an extension of himself so we can bring the healing power of heaven to everyone that we come into contact with. Now, I came to faith in a tradition that placed a premium on divine physical healing. We prayed for it, we believed in it, and on occasion marveled when God graciously brought such prayers the answer that we longed for. And I don't doubt that God can and still does such miracles today. But I've noticed a marked difference between the degree of the miracles sought as commensurate with the degree of spiritual immaturity that was exhibited. Those who seek after Jesus like some spiritual candy man will only get a little bit of candy here and there. But those of us who come to realize following Jesus means taking up our cross often discover that Jesus doesn't always provide a miracle, but walks with us through a process by which we can come to a deeper wholeness that far exceeds any physical suffering that we are enduring. And then sometimes he'll graciously add the cherry of physical healing on top of that sundae of spiritual wholeness that we have grown to enjoy. The point of any healing that we pray for or experience on this side of eternity is not to replace the fullness of the coming world that's free from sin and its after effects. It's to whet our appetite, to give us reminders that the hope that we have is not in vain. We have a future that blesses our nows in unexpected and miraculous ways. Any bit of healing that we experience at the hand of our Savior is meant to testify to the future goodness that we are promised. But accepting that, we still may suffer. Or the fact that these foretastes are not the whole package does not absolve us from doing our part to bring a fuller experience of the kingdom age into this present age. Just because a person doesn't enjoy some instant answer to prayer doesn't mean that we can wipe our hands clean and not use the prayerful and natural methods that we have at our disposal to alleviate their suffering. We pray for the mentally ill, but we don't abandon them if there's not some thunder from heaven. We bring them into contact with trained psychological professionals and counselors who can walk alongside them. We pray that the hope of the poor would not be taken away. But if a person's finances don't suddenly become so flush that they can tithe without a worry, we don't regard it as a moral failure. We help them until they get traction, or at least so far as our own resources can sustain. And of course, I don't think any of us here are the type of person who would refuse to go to a doctor in an emergency. But many of us struggle. Without the help of others over the chronic ills that we endure, because we don't want to be a burden. But we need people that we can rely on to winsomely remind us to do what's healthy, not to nag, not to ignore it either, to assist us when we can't do things, no matter what our pride might say, and to cheer us on when we are doing the right things. The wholeness that Jesus longs for in us is more than just these examples of mental, economic, or physical health. We have relationships that require mending. We have a planet that's hurting. We even have societal institutions that are fraught with conflict, racism, classism, sexism, greed, corruption, and unfettered polarization at the highest levels. Our world is feverish with internal and external ailments. They all stem back from that first bite of the apple. But none of them is outside of the mending grace of Jesus. Christ, our great physician, has a balm in Gilead. And we, his church, his people, are the heavenly medical staff that he has commissioned to bring this cure of his grace, to a dying world. One last point to remember, Jesus himself is a wounded healer. He bore our sins with every lash, every thorn, every nail upon the cross. Even in his resurrected glory, those wounds remain, but now in beauty glorified, as the old hymn says. We too bear our weaknesses and suffering with the cross of Christ that we carry. None of us is unscathed. Each of us has some weakness that leaves us vulnerable. But we are still entrusted with Christ's commission to heal nonetheless. And if a bunch of pre-Pentecost disciples could bring Jesus' healing to the sick without a walking stick so much as a doctor's bag, how much more can we be instruments of Christ's healing through his indwelling spirit within us? Let Jesus make you whole. And let Jesus make you the vehicle of wholeness for someone else. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, giver of life and health, comfort and relieve your servants who suffer, and give your power of healing to those who minister to their needs, that they may be strengthened in their weakness and have confidence in your loving care, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.